September 5, 2020, it's the Watch for Pedro show.
Santa taking some part-time work at Harry's bar to pass the time and get out of the house a little while. I am dumb, Harry. I overslept again. I used to sleep 300 days a year. Now if I oversleep, I know what you'll do. Last night, Santa grew three arms. If he's late to work one more time, Harry's going to paint in bronze, get an altar of human skulls to set behind him as a backdrop, a throne with arms of stuffed snapping alligators vomiting a bouquet of swamp orchids from their gaping jaws, and he'll just sit there sagely and greet customers. Santa doesn't want that. I mean, who would? And just imagine how crooked he's walking with three arms on one side of his body and only two on the other. Maybe he'll grow another tonight. Wouldn't it be awful if he grew two? Oh, streams of jet blue, holy fire with sunset shades circling behind. Voices in every language. Santa with thousands of arms, always one more on the left side of his body. Everyone coughing up blood, wormwood and mugwort. The human heart, a bear in a freezing poison stream, watching fish float by belly up. Harry's bar left empty with tumblers full of orb weaver spiders on every table, ready for a swallow of pathogenic blood to give them one glorious glimpse of the victorious plague swimming in the tributaries of the circulatory system. Santa filling five glasses full of Michelob Light at once with his nimble, dexterous, extra appendages. Harry, let the man sleep in. Santa is good for business.
For Pedro Show, happy Saturday. Yeah, I'm going to do three in a row here. My brother Matt, we're in Quentin Quarantino mode, so he's still a couple miles south at Pleasure Point in Love Grotto. But through the wonders of those engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention, I got Rick Weaver with me. Welcome aboard, Rick.
Hello. Glad to be here. Thank you.
I should say we started off with John Coltrane with Stan Getz, Oscar Peterson, Paul Chambers, Jimmy Cobb. Whoa, you're making a lot of fucking noise over there, Rick.
Sorry, opening the door, trying to get a clear connection.
that does wonders, though. Anyway, they're doing Hackensack, West Germany, 1960. Kind of rare. After that, we had Santa, even though it's fucking September, people. But it came early. Santa grows three arms, giving him an odd number of arms.
That one sounds familiar.
Coons and Weaver. So it must have been you and your buddy, right?
Yeah. Zach Coons, Loneliest Boy in Appalachia, did the text for that one, a little Christmas story. It's our second or third Christmas album, and provided the musical accompaniment on that one.
Okay, I want to go way back before a couple Christmases ago. I want you to tell me, and remember, it's a Watt for Pedro show, so there's no hard questions. And there's no wrong answers. But what's your earliest musical recollection?
Musical recollection. Let's see. I can remember my first concert was the Ninja Turtles. When the Pizza Hut promotion came through, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles coming out of their shell. So that was a pretty early memory.
Coming out of your shell. What about, where did you grow up?
I was born in D.C., popped out to San Diego for a year, but mainly grew up around the Maryland area.
Okay, in the pad you grew up, was there musical instruments?
Yeah, to some degree. Not too musical of a family. My grandfather was an excellent trombonist and made a living in a swing band before getting into the Air Force and all that. So there was that musical influence there.
Was there a bone in the house?
You know, I actually have his bone now, which is amazing, and I did play the bone for a while. Still have my student trombone, but I tried keeping up with him, and he just did circles around me.
Bass clef, J.J. Johnson, there's a record John Coltrane did with a bone player. You know the thing about the bone, right? It's kind of like the... You know, the violin, bass, cello thing, there's microtones.
Yeah, well, I feel like that kind of expanded because we got into, like, tapes and pitch bending and all that stuff. I think looking back, like the trombone really might have turned me on to a lot of that kind of stuff, because you can just really play with that kind of space there, the interval, small.
What about in school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Oh, man. Elementary school, I lived a pretty sheltered early life. I went to private school until high school. I was in choir in elementary school. Actually got kicked out for horseplay. For whatever reason, just didn't gel with the choir thing.
I'm just interested because a lot of schools cut out their music programs.
Yeah. I did, with the bone, I did play with, what would it be called? I guess like pep band sort of thing. It was, we had a smaller unit at our school. Mr. Rosie, he was the teacher, good teacher. And we would go to like these, meetups, you know, you'd be on a big stage. It was beyond like first and second chairs. Like you'd end up with like 20 trombonists on one stage at a time. And, I don't know. I never really got good at musical notation. I kind of was able to hide in there, but, no, those were definitely good early, musical school, memories there.
Notation. That's why I said earlier, I said bass clef, because everybody knows the bone is in the bass clef.
Yeah.
All cars eat gas.
A lot of those early trombone parts were nice and easy, too, because you're just basically going bump, 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 while everybody else is kind of toting the front line there.
Yeah. And what I heard about, especially for marching, the big mouthpieces, so it's kind of easier.
Yeah. I don't know. I never really took to it. A few years ago, I tried picking up alto sax, too, and a little bit easier. But, yeah, the mouth extension instruments.
Rick, what was the first?
It's a struggle.
What was the first record you bought for yourself, Rick?
Oh, geez, that's a tough one. Let's see. I think the first record I got was the. You remember those flexi discs?
Sure.
Burger King had a promotion, Alpha flexi disc. It was like a novelty record. That would have been, of course, you know, the parents buying me the Happy Meal with the extra record thrown in.
And the fucking crown.
Yeah. And the crown, of course. Wearing the crown while spinning the Alf flexi disc.
What was the first gig? What was the first gig you went and saw?
The first gig was that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's right. And did they actually play or were they lip syncing?
You know, you got me. I think it was a live music production, but I think it was one of those Wizard of Oz behind the curtains. So, like, the performers in the costume were not the band playing the instruments.
Right. the frauds get perpetrated against us early, Rick.
What's that?
The frauds get perpetrated against us early.
Oh, yeah. But I love the spectacle, so it worked on me.
Now, what about the thing after school, the basement band, the bedroom garage band? Did you do that kind of stuff?
Yeah, definitely. When I switched to high school, I kind of stopped in all the sort of marching band or pep band sort of development path and got into the whole basement band, mainly my dad's house in the basement out in Western Maryland, and so that was kind of when I picked up drums and all that, and but was in a few outfits at that time, I guess.
So you got a drum set.
Yeah, and I think that's probably, yeah.
Now, did you do the pot and pan thing first, or did you go straight for a trap kit?
You know, in middle school, it took a few years to really know that was what I was going to get into, and that was from going to friends' houses. So there were moments like that. I had one friend who was an excellent drummer in middle school but had no drum kit, and we'd sit there. He had a radiator, and we'd just sit there and bang out beats on his radiator, and he'd show me some techniques. And like if I had a friend, I was that obnoxious guy who wanted to play the drum set, you know.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you mind if I get on your drum set? So whenever I had a friend with a kit in their basement, it was just an attraction that kind of picked up more and more until I got my own kit.
Yeah, now what was your first kit?
It was a Pearl.
Pearl, Peter Criss.
Pearl, Pearl Export, one of the, I think it's Pearl Export Select.
Okay. And, I don't know, did you beat the shit out of it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely. I was breaking sticks for the first, maybe 4 years of playing. Just like running the sticks into the drum. Yeah, it was a mess.
This band that you made in the basement at your pop's pad, do they have a name? Did you guys start writing songs right away, or did you copy off records?
Yeah, it was a lot of original. So there were kind of two bands. There was that band, which was the, you know, the trio more in the punk vein and slowly developed into what it did. And then there was another band that was at my friend's basement that it, you know, went over to on the weekend. And that band was all like organ, home organ based, and a little bit more like based on our interest in soundtrack music and that sort of thing.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of two things. Like one was like, you know, the well, you know, the drum bass guitar thing. Right. And then the other was kind of more of that spectacle bass thing. I think kind of tale of two worlds, I guess.
Yeah, but I think that might have been good. You have a different prog for each approach.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely had fun with both. Trio seemed to work for a long time in a lot of trios, till now just kind of on my own or in the duo form, like the thing with Coons.
Right, right. Here, I want to play the acronym egg.
Oh, cool, cool.
GOA.
Tinctures for pain, capsized vessels. Hand reaches into warm body. She believes in magic, and so do I. Painted things. Riotous hips and rib cage, a being filled with liquid. Stop. Stop now. Please continue. Over is it yet? Sleeping twins lost in desert, found in a hospital. Pointed things. Trinkets and scepters and waterfalls in Brazil. Dragon fruit scooped into bowls. Owls and blue spaces in parking lots. A slithering towards. Planted things.
Thank you. tasting with tongue at parts far away. People flinch, but he don't interface. Up my hands to block the knife from piercing my chest and breaking my
show. Rick Weaver with the acronym A. Everybody knows about that, right?
Few, yep.
Few after that, her new album came out yesterday, Vertical KO, The Very Ears of Dusk. Great record. Trippy fucking thing. Model Home, and His Name Is Alive, is a collab for a new record, too, called Fire Sale Dub here. Bogdan Rosinski after that, Collection Agency. And then Black Lodge with Fluff, the all Disciples stuff fucking happening. Mr. Tom's got a new Tobacco album coming out. Pittsburgh, day before Halloween, we're playing it now. Poisonous Horses. Then Machine Wen from up in the city doing Hospital. This lady was in the SoCal scene when Minutemen were around, old buddy ours. And I'll show you to Myron Isle. Yeah, my Fratelli in Italy, with Us in Their Land, our version of it. And finally, Rick Weaver with Slasher. Okay, Rick, so this stuff was during high school, right, you were talking about?
Yeah, it definitely carried over.
Yeah, what happened after high school?
Well, I guess I worked at a moving company, tried to do the full-time college thing, but really just more and more. I think like the first week that I graduated high school went on like first 2-week tour, you know, so that was kind of, I was just waiting to get out the door for all that. So that sort of took over, you know, lost, whatever financial aid I had with the school and just kind of basically devoted that for, through the 20s, basically. That kind of style of like, you know, the 3 to 6 month tour and constant bands and projects. But those bands continued a little bit longer.
Were these tour bands anything from high school? Was it the guys in the basement shit?
Yeah. Those two bands were the ones fresh out of there. The one band, the Organ Donors, with Ari and Abe Schenk. Yeah, we toured, I think, once, but we were pretty pretty active as a unit for a long time, like in Baltimore, which was a very fun time for sure, because nobody really cared or paid attention. We were able to just, we never played any two sets alike, so it was constant, like just coming up with a gimmick for a set or whatever, or writing a new set of songs for a set, and then, you know, the recording offshoots of all that with our like kind of made up soundtracks and everything. So that was a blast.
I'm curious, Do you know the Balmer band Mold Omen?
I do not. Okay. Mold Omen?
Yeah, they make some wild-ass fucking sounds for about 10 years now.
And nice.
It's a duo, and it seems like this is kind of the recipe you're thinking of. Now, what was the other band called, the trio, the power trio?
That became Flowers in the Attic. I left that band about 18, and they got a couple new members and actually got some, you know, mild... That's way more than one album, so that's definitely...
So that's the band you mainly toured in, right?
That's the Curse of Weaver right there.
Okay, but that's the one you mainly toured in.
Yeah, both of those. And then, let's see, then started playing drums in another trio called The New Flesh. That one, God, we kind of toured a lot. We were a little too close. That was sort of like the... Live together, work at the same gas station, tour all the time, get at each other's throats, kind of almost like we're siblings, you know?
Sure. Bandmates are like siblings.
Well, yeah, and actually my good buddy, you know, I'm down in San Antonio now, but he moved to Austin, Texas, so he's about probably the only good friend I have around Texas, you know, from the old days, so we're still very close.
I'm curious about the material. Being a drummer, you know, there's this there's this fucking stereotype of the drummers not being composers.
Yeah. I mean, I guess with the trio, I mean, you know, everyone kind of gets a little bit up in front because there's really nowhere to hide to that degree. I would say, yeah. I'm not sure what, if I were to take New Flesh, I would say I was probably the one just like bugging everybody to get to practice. I mean, I didn't used to carry a cell phone. I used to be kind of anal retentive and punctual and all that, and kind of let those rules go with that. But I was kind of that guy, the guy with the van who was like, "Hey, come on, guys, we gotta go."
Well, I'm thinking more like Grant Hart or Dave Grohl, where play drums but also write songs.
Yeah. I feel like, I'm not sure who really shaped that. It was nobody, I guess. All of us, maybe. probably them. I wouldn't have been able to write songs like they wrote at all. So, the guy, Dan Propert, who was playing guitar at that time, he turned me on to a lot of music that still has kind of stuck with me, too.
Well, I'm just curious because, you know, Chico Hamilton, jazz drummer, in the 60s, he tried to get songwriting. He was told, you know, drummers can't write songs.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
because the notes last
so kind of percussion.
Short. Yeah, but why isn't the drums considered like a guitar or an organ, piano?
Or vice versa, like the piano considered a drum. Or guitar or drum. Yeah, I think maybe that's the drum thing, but coming to it just kind of sounding like everything's just got like a auxiliary percussion instrument.
Well, like you're talking about your grandpa with the trombone, right?
Yeah.
Now, in those days, swing bands, the rhythm section just didn't have the drum and bass. It had the guitar and piano.
Yeah.
See how those roles changed because they didn't have their fucking amplifiers yet.
You had to have more players.
Right. They're all banging out eighth notes, right?
Well, his first job he got is was at a funeral home next door. The reason why being, you know, he was practicing the bone by the window, and the funeral director came over, gave him a job to shut him up, basically.
So... You know, you think of Power Tree, you think of Ginger Baker and the Cream. Were you hip to stuff like that?
Yeah, to some degree. I think...
Well, who was Jimmy's guy? Mitch Mitchell.
Yeah. Definitely, I think the seventh grade sort of got into, like, all that, like, really, like, sponged up all that kind of sound.
Well, I bring that up because us Minutemen being a trio, we always got asked about Rush. And we'd say, what about Cream? You know?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, definitely.
What about Jimmy, you know, the Hendrix experience? And no, we always got asked about Rush, and Rush, I don't know, the rock and roll part. I mean, I'm not saying that they're good musicians and stuff. Maybe it was just the time.
Yeah, sometimes people go for the closest, like the thing that's active at that time, maybe, you know.
Right.
Kind of like,
I guess the Cream and Hendrix experience. They're more '60s.
Yeah, so it was like,
and then Rush is '70s.
Saying Rush didn't have the same reference point with some of the older things that have been.
Yeah. But just to let you know on a secret, Minuteman really didn't listen to Rush.
No.
Nothing against him or anything. I ended up actually meeting some of them because I opened up for Les and Primus. Les Claypool's way into Rush, and I got to meet them. And nice guys. Erickson? Leaf? No, that's a Viking name. Whatever. A blonde guy and a... The bass man, Geddy Lee.
Nice. Yeah.
But kinda... I got to tell you, Jack Bruce, incredible influence on me. Probably more than Noel Redden. Probably Billy Cox more than Noel Redden. But Jack Bruce was incredible influence on me. So
Nice.
Yeah. So that's why I asked about it. It seemed like somebody like Mitch Mitchell, a song like Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire, I'm going to show you everything I know how to play in this one song.
That's true. And I had that problem for a long... I mean, I have that problem.
It might not
really
be a problem.
Be careful about sculpting, carving it out, you know.
It might not be a problem, though.
Yeah.
You know what
definitely
I mean?
Like,
let the freak flag fucking fly, you know. Look, Rick, we're at the end of the first hour. April 5.
Fantastic.
No, not April. September 5, 2020. Walk Peter Show. Special guest, Rick Weaver. Hold tight for hour two. September 5, 2020. It's the second hour of the Walk for Pedro Show.
ladybug, where'd you go? I say it loud, I love you so. Waiting here, don't you know? Hear me say, I love you so. Hear me calling, hear me calling, hear me calling, baby bug. Baby bug, 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 baby. Baby bug. Listen, dear, we can fly out of here. Come with me, we can go anywhere. I love you so. Hear me calling, hear me calling, hear me calling, hear me calling. Baby bug, baby bug, baby bug, baby bug, baby bug.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show. Start the second hour with Rick Weaver doing Chantuzzi. Sam Bennett after that, Baby Bug. Whatever Happened to the Flaming Lips by Samuel Lockwart. Promise Brendan. These were some guys in D.C. in the early 80s. I don't think they did gigs, but they recorded trippy shit like the Residents. I Walked the Lawn. Cal Portor Rose out of Slovenia with Mr. Clint. And Formalog, The Never-Ending Torso. Formalog.
Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of hard work in the head.
Yeah, Formalog. Yeah,
you know that joke, based... right? What did they find in the captain's head?
There is a song, The Captain Speaking, which is from the perspective of an airplane going on with a... captain speaking, who's questionable whether you could be confident in his abilities. The plane's kind of going down.
Ah, this is more a take on Star Trek. You know, what did they find in the captain's head?
Formalog is actually my buddy Ren, who's in that band, is really into barbecuing. He does like 24-hour barbecues and things like that. And so we were watching videos on how to form a bacon log out of like 4 pounds of ground beef or something. So that kind of became the name. It's a little spontaneous, but definitely a kind of shared interest at that time for all of us, as there was a lot of grilling going on.
I thought you were going to say long pig. You know about long pig?
No.
It's a recipe for cooking people.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty disgusting. But anyway, I'm going to give you the answer to that joke. What did they find in the captain's head? The captain's log. It's terrible. So, like projects like this, like you did a formal log with your buddy. Were you in the same room, or do you trade files?
Yeah. So Formalog was Ren Schofield and Noah Anthony, and we were doing this, it was when we were all living in Philly kind of by coincidence in a very, like, kind of brief year and a half, 2 year period. And, we were trying to do a free rock thing, them on guitars, me on drums. And, one day I came over to their, it was like an old chop shop turned into a warehouse space kind of thing. And, they're like, no, we're not going to do the free rock thing today. We're just going to do the same thing, but on tapes. I said, well, I don't have a tape player. They said, we got a tape deck for you, four track. And so you'll play the drums on the tape. I'll play guitar. I'll play bass, you know, and, it kind of worked out. So it was all four track cassettes.
You mean in real time you guys are playing tape decks?
Yeah.
So ahead of time you prepare, you get your shit on the tape?
Yeah, for the most part it was all original sources. There's, over the years though, there's maybe a few samples. I think I sampled like a Panther once, and maybe some traffic sounds that were not a field recording I made. But for the most part, yeah, just original sources on the tapes. And then the tapes played in real time with no clock or anything, basically.
Yeah, you guys are all together with your tape machines, and then you go down to a two-track machine?
Yeah, pretty much. Or just, you know, in the box, into something like that.
Oh, you mean just lifting the files digitally?
Yeah, basically it ends up digitally, but it's all analog.
Okay. Trippy, you know, compared to playing the drums, which is so physical, different kind of thing.
Definitely, and I think I got pretty lazy with that band, because after a few years in, I was just sitting in a chair with the beer by my side, so it definitely, there are times, though, I was always wondering in my head, like, are we just kind of like DJing? Is this, like, going to be what it is no matter what we do? But, no, there were nights when we severely bombed, so that kind of was like, okay, so we are doing something here. There is some kind of live component, so.
Right.
But at first it was just a hodgepodge of, like, cassette sounds. It was more like a sound effects tape or something, I guess. And then it became more like, all right, let's count this down and have a part A, part B, part C kind of thing.
There was a band from the old days, which I'm talking like 70s, called Smegma. You wear them, Gats?
Yeah, love Smegma.
Okay. They did collage kind of stuff, right? Like this.
Yeah.
And when they started the Free Music Society in Los Angeles before they moved to Portland, Richard Meltzer was part of that. Look, you got a great piece of music here called Saphead I want to play.
We'll be right back. God's work. Women and children first. Till the lifeboats overflowing, they had no way of knowing. Loose ends would sink their ship. Unfinished business had them in its grip. Curiosity intent. This sideshow's another loose end. Society is caught swallowing gals. Conceal themselves in a number of ways. To sift through what remains these days. To tidy up all these loose ends. Steal a heart and stand on it. How much is that pussy in the window? One voice can cause so many losers.
Treat them all as my friend. Unwrap, well traveled, well, that is in my lips. I'll be the minute when it ends. Like an infant, blue skin, blue skin.
The only way to get there is by making a wrong turn. Every crowd needs an individual like you. The early worm looks before it leaves. Here's a crown for you. Mandatory clarity training. Find your commonalities, not just our common enemies. Work together to make us better and our situation.
Dr. Pedro Show, Saphead, Rick Wiener. How did you put all that together, man?
Which one, the Saphead?
Yeah.
Oh, at that time, really for, let's see, 2010. Well, no, really long. Well, basically, I got a roll in 8-track, so I mix 8-tracks, mix them down to music CDR into stereo, upload that back to the 8-track and the new track, overdub 6 tracks, mix that down to stereo mix, upload that to 2, add 6 more, mix that down, upload to 2. And that one was, there's a lot of tracks in there, so that was one of those labor intensive ones to some degree.
but that was Man Alone.
Yeah. Well, that's actually one of the only ones with the collaborator. My buddy Kevin Esposito does the voice in the beginning where he's saying the kids these days.
Sure.
he did that over the phone. I recorded it.
Was His Majesty's request, or did he ad lib it?
Yeah, no, I wrote the lyrics, and I was like, I bet Kevin. I guess I kind of wrote it for him. Kevin was actually sort of like the fourth member of Form Logan Way, but like, you know, what would you call our spiritual advisor, that kind of thing. So Espo's always on my mind to some degree.
Much respect. Then we had the Hawk from Iowa City with a theme from Saw. I guess the third movie. Well, what else does a hardcore... You know, this is a hardcore band stretching out, so... Then Tatsuhisa... No, Tatsuhisa, sorry. Yamamoto with the like. Kim Salmon and Spencer P. Jones. We lost Spencer a couple years ago to cancer. Loose Ends. Tollum, brand new. Individual Like You. Flying Vipers, brand new. Willie's Wonder. It's a big bass reggae. And then finally, Rick Weaver with Rudderal Spine. Rudderal.
Yeah. That one was for recent compilation for this label in Baltimore, Defective Bat. Just kind of fun. My buddy Mike Apicello, I played with, is on there too. With his band, Human Hosts. He called it a reunion to some degree. I agree with that. So that's kind of a fun one to be a part of.
So you still got a good connect with Baltimore?
To some degree, I feel like there's a certain point where, you know, I just sort of rekindled or maintained a small, very narrow amount of friendships and musical collaborations. Just kind of pulling from that these days.
I remember the first place Minutemen played in that town. It was called the Marble Bar. Man, it was a heavy,
never.
Yeah, it was a heavy neighborhood. But I've always enjoyed playing. And then a lot of gigs in Fells Point where they built the boats and shit like that. And,
yeah.
So, always curious about that town.
This is a blast, yeah.
In San Antonio, you know. God, I didn't play there for a long time. I mean, this is before your time, but there was a club there called Taco Land, and the boss got murdered.
Yep.
Oh, you know about that?
I know about it. I have not experienced it firsthand, but yeah. That's a big part of the history here for sure.
So I went back and played there again because of Jeff Smith. Jeff Smith's a guy. He's in the Hickoids and gay sportscasters, shit like this. He's got a Sostex Records. He's there. He even opened up a little museum in San Antonio for the old days, like Dicks and bands like that. Jeff Smith might be a guy you want to check out because
What's the museum?
Yeah, it's a punk museum. I can't remember what the name of it, but you know,
is it the South Texas Popular Culture or something roughly like that?
Yeah, he took me to it. It's in a strip mall. You know, he got some community support. You know, it's only 70, 80 miles from Austin, but it's kind of its own world, kind of military town, San Antonio.
Yeah, big time. It definitely does have its own feel. Sprawling, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, big suburb.
I was never really here till I moved here, honestly. And I had nothing in my head about what it would be like, you know, really.
But maybe that's good, because then you got no prejudice. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, September 5, 2020, edition Watt Pedro Show, special guest Rick Weaver. Hold tight for hour 3. September 5, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
And yet so free. What do I do? If you cannot visualize, it should come as no surprise. If you can't imagine it, it will never manifest. And if we just play it safe. Nightmare walls are coming around, and who is going to knock them down? With his feet like Jericho, the trumpet sound, the fatal blow. Reality, our collective dream, stolen by a seductive scream. Big brother has been mass produced to hypnotize and to seduce. Tell me, can we change the game? Free our minds, unlock the chains. Meanwhile, we're searching for a way out of this nightmare. Reality, a stiff and crusty reality, overgrown out reality, out of five reality, out of touch and out of time. There ain't no rhyme in your reality, a rusty reality, a black and white reality, a fuss and fight reality. It ain't for me, oh no. You wanna build a wall, I wanna knock it down. You wanna build a world of walls, I wanna knock them down. It ain't for me, well, no. Pushing too much reality for me. I need the dream. Pushing too much reality for me. I need the dream. Pushing too much reality for me. Pushing too much reality for me. I need a dream. Your reality ain't got no dream. Oh no. Your reality ain't got no dream. Oh no. Your reality ain't got no dream. We'll be right back. blood to paint. Got no dream of no, your reality. Ain't got no dream, ain't got no dream, ain't got no dream. The nightmare walls will come around, and who is going to knock them down? To this beat like Jericho, the trumpet sound, the fatal blow. Reality, a collective dream, stolen by a seductive stream. Big brother has been mass-produced to hypnotize. Tell me, can we change the game? Free our minds, unlock the chain. Meanwhile, we're searching for the way out of this nightmare. A dreamless reality, a stiff and crusty reality. Overgrown out reality, out of five reality. Out of touch and out of time, there ain't no rhyme in your reality. A rusty reality, a black and white reality. A fuck and fight reality. It ain't for me, girl. You wanna build a wall, I wanna knock it down.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Pedro Show start off the third hour with Global Distance. Now, this is just an excerpt, Lover's Code.
Yeah.
It was a big piece, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, because that was my buddy Weak Power, Rick Wilson, in St. Louis when I lived there for a little while, about 2012, I think. Yeah, so we just put together these little things we call realm plays. So I think it was some of those tapes were slightly broken down to song titles, but for the most part, it would be like an A to B sort of linear story kind of thing that probably only we could follow.
What do you mean by realm play?
Oh, realm play. Yeah, I don't know. I guess that was just the name we gave to our storytelling. So it was a realm in which we play in.
Realm, R-E-A-L-M.
Yeah.
Okay, realm play. So you play around in your realm. Yeah, it makes sense.
Peter Pan. Right. Yeah.
Of course. That's what it all boils down to anyway. And we had Crane doing Baby That's All Right. No, Baby That's Right. Sorry, Crane. Jasper Groove's Collective. He was on last episode with Ain't Got No Dream. And Modoman. I played this just for you. This is nice. M-O-A. And then finally Rick Weaver with Blue Sky. Sweet. Another excerpt.
Yep, couple of excerpts in there.
but the Blue Sky Suite, this was you, Man Alone, right?
Yeah, that was me alone. I guess that's, except for that the Esbo little blurb on the Saphead, I think that was all just me. There might be one sample in there somewhere on that song. I kind of forget if I made it a sample or if I just try to make it sound like a sample. But
well, do you sample your drums anymore?
You know, yeah, I mean, some of those newer tracks, you could probably hear it's a lot of in the keyboards these days. I've had a weird thing about the organic acoustic instruments recently, but I need to get back over there because it's getting, it's like an unhealthy thing. I don't know, I just really like being in headphones late at night and that sort of quiet, like loud but quiet feeling, you know.
Sure. But I mean, the idea too of being your own sample.
Yeah, the Blue Sky thing was that was like a children's story, like Western, so maybe the reference point was like Roy Rogers, but you know, with its own mythology or caricature of that kind of world. So I think, I can't remember if that one had like an actual Roy Rogers sample or something akin to that, or if I just kind of try to make it sound like that. I really don't remember.
Or you could get really abstract. It could be, you know, because you know he's Stuff Trigger, right?
What is it?
He's Stuff Trigger.
Stuff Trigger?
Yeah, his ranch, Apple Ranch, Apple Valley Ranch and shit. He had a trigger all stuffed in front of his bed. The horse.
Oh, his horse Trigger. Yeah. Palomino Palomine.
I don't know if he stuffed Dale Evans. But
yeah.
You know, that's the thing about it, right? Here, I want to play Honeycomb.
spot here. I think I made a grave mistake. Bad enough I dreamt this up, but now, here it is. Another cruel invention. A land humming with cruel inventions. Enough horror to make the whole thing mundane. 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 Mundane.
Thank you.
So the last music for this edition was The Honeycomb, Rick Weaver. And then we had something live from Pikachu Mikado, I Love You. And then finally, Shell and Milk Sweet, another excerpt. So what you gave me was like three samples of these bigger pieces. These days, are you thinking more in bigger pieces?
Well, I didn't want to send you 16-minute tracks. That just didn't seem right. I think they're long enough even as excerpts.
Well, we just played some of this Pikachu Mikado. That was 16 minutes. So.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I got a 3 hours. I made it a 3-hour show because I come from a band from 30, 40 seconds, okay? But I know that some people, they need a little more time.
Well, I think the newest thing that I did with Coons, that we did the Christmas album, we just finished it's the album all about the 1990 Cincinnati Reds, and it's kind of like a one-piecer, tone poem kind of thing, but everything's like one minute to 2 minute, the track, so it's like 16 tracks and 30 minutes kind of thing.
Whoa.
But I think
all the tracks fit together, though, so it's like one big song with different parts.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I hear it in my head, but maybe I'm the only person who hears it that way. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think if you're the composer, you're justified in admitting to that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I think that's the easiest way to go into something is thematically, you know. So, just kind of put it into a small world and just kind of play in that world for a little while.
Well, what about outside the world? Who really inspires you these days musically?
I saw you played Model Home the other day. Really in the Model Home.
I'm going to have them on the show tomorrow.
Fantastic. Wow. That's
so you know about those
news.
Guys. You know about those guys. Okay.
Yeah. Big fan.
I just found out about them. And they're going to be on the show, so I'm going to learn their story.
Yeah, I mean, they just, what is it, like 18 releases in like a year and a half, so. And all of it's gold and, you know, it's spontaneous, but it's like their world, so it just sounds fully formed. So, yeah, that's been pretty good listening stuff.
Can I ask your opinion, Rick? You know, because they adopt the electronic way of bringing stuff in, right? Do you think, and then we were talking about the old days, right, the organic instruments, the bones and drum sets and bass guitars. Do you think this new world with the electronic, maybe it's easier to, like, make your own world?
I don't know. I mean, with Model Home, the voice is pretty central, so that's kind of like...
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
There's always that to some degree in there. I don't know. It's tricky because with recording, it's always like a deception to some degree, a manipulation of something because the mic is presenting an inaccurate reflection or transposition of what is happening in reality.
Right.
I don't want to get too acid flashback, but then I guess also in performance, that's probably the same from listener to listener. None of us are really hearing the same thing ever.
Right. And you think, like the old days where we're operating more analog kind of devices, like drum sets and bass guitars?
Well,
more apparent, it's more obvious, it's more, I mean, they still got to go through that recording, you know, for us to hear that, it's got to go through that recording process also.
Yeah. But I don't know. I know for me that I have my drum kit set up in the corner, and I every day I kind of feel ashamed that I don't play it.
You know, Monty Mark Nishida told me that what he started doing was automatically when he wakes up in the morning, he gets on the drum set. It's like, he first takes a piss. So do I, you know. When you get less younger, you'll find that out. But right after the piss, he goes and just jumps on the fucking drum set.
Yeah, that's good. I tend to be the procrastinator. It's like the later in the day I'd kind of start, and I don't know why. There's just something about acoustic. You know, it might be just because I'm not really ever prepping for performance these days, so it's all recording. So yeah. It kind of feels weird to just be yelling into a mic with headphones on. Like, yeah. It's not like I have a control room or any, you know, it's just me kind of yelling to myself in my own ears.
Right. So, yeah, there's a layer of abstraction there. Well, look, where can people find you on the internet, Rick?
Let's see. Got the .com at Rick J. Weaver. So, you know, just the letter J, Rick Weaver with a J in the middle there, .com.
You hear that, people? RickJWeaver.com. And you can let people know what's going on there. I mean, what's your next big prod you got? You guys just finished up the Christmas record.
Yeah. Did the baseball album. Working on a war album where with Zach Coos again, where we end up in every American war and die in every American war, but in a circumstance, like bumbling circumstance unrelated to the war completely. And then working on this this sort of like more radio play thing to get a little bit more direct with that element of it, called Check Please, that takes place in a West Texas stockyard cafe.
So when you say radio play, you're talking like a mind movie.
What, a mind movie? Yeah.
Yeah, oh, because are you aware?
I was thinking of it as like mood music.
Well, there was this thing. A thing in the 70s called ZBS. They're still around upstate New York on a commune called ZBS Media, ZBS.org. And they made this Adventures of Jack Flanders in these 10, 12 hour big old fucking trips, man. I started listening to it when I was a teenager.
Oh, that sounds great. I would definitely check that out.
His name was Meatball Fulton. And what he would do is go to a town like Morocco or Rio de Janeiro, and he'd record the ambient sounds. They'd make a story around him.
That sounds good. Give me a lot of gold here today. Got to check it out.
Well, look, when you get your next mind movie done, will you come back on the show so we can talk about it? Because in a way, I think that's a form of fucking music.
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, it's an honor. Yeah, and always a pleasure. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Rick. People, it's been September 5, 2020 edition Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.